Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and today I'm proud to bring you Herculean Physique with Michael DelRussi of Bold Spirits Holistic Concepts. Greetings and welcome, Michael. How are you today?
Great, and I'm very excited to be here.
Me too. I always love our conversations, and I'm looking forward to this one.
I'd like to open up, if I can, with our declaration, if you will.
Sure.
We here at Bold Spirits Holistic Concepts believe that our ultimate destiny is to get the duality of our minds to work as one. When left brain logical mind and right brain creative spiritual mind work together, new insights and better decision making can lie ahead in every area of our lives. In terms of diet and longevity, this can also be a life-changing truth. Our goal, then, is to use logical mind in assessing the latest anti-aging and disease-fighting studies. Then, initiate creative mind in formulating our own personal health program, both with natural supplementation and conventional medical support, where appropriate. Our instincts will play the ultimate role in choosing which supplements and how many to be part of our life extension program. This is where the wisdom of the hemisphere's teachings become so exciting and forever unfolding. The workings and concepts of the two-chambered mind, we believe, should have been part of our educational system and spiritual doctrines throughout the world. Such are the endless possibilities of thinking out of both sides of the hemispheres. We at Bold Spirits are committed to share the importance of these concepts through our humble ministry and the remainder of our lives. And I'm very pleased to be with you. As always, my personal goal is to present cutting-edge healing therapies that you may not hear about anywhere else. That is my goal. That's been my calling for over 30 years. And I thank the powers that be that provide me with the instincts and insights to do just that. So it's a pleasure to be here. I feel somebody somewhere who pursuing their own research based on what I say tonight may enhance their overall good health and even prevent certain diseases in doing so. So it's a real pleasure and an honor to be here.
And it's a pleasure and honor to have you here. And I know I've learned a lot and I've experimented with a lot, and some I'm still doing, some I put it on the shelf for now. But recently I've been experimenting with berberine, which you told me about.
And have you seen any positive results up to this point?
Up until this point, I can't tell, but I switched my diet around to lower my blood sugar a bit. My AIC was a little high, so I want to lower it. So I'm trying the berberine to see what happens when I add that to the mix.
Well, sir, the reviews so far have been strong. And as we know, everybody's metabolism is different. But so far, it looks like it can be a positive addition to lowering blood sugar naturally.
Yes.
Some research I've looked at has also indicated that berberine combined with turmeric may be effective. So, you know, again, this is what's exciting about it all is this is where our own divine intuition comes in, our creative intuition, if you will. You know, are most of our primary care physicians going to companion with us in this journey? No. Are they even familiar with the possibilities of using and combining these certain natural therapies? Unfortunately, the answer to that is probably no. So, but I believe our intuition comes from another source, a greater place. We know that for the most part, it channels through the right hemisphere of the mind. And I think this is where we can get pulses or intuition from. So I would appreciate it if you update all of us if there is any real progress with the berberine. I think combining it with turmeric, and I also like personally like apple pectin, some of the fibers, if the digestive system will tolerate it. Not for it's not for everybody, but if combining those two or three of the fibers that we know can lower blood sugar, I think fantastic things would happen.
I started eating an apple a day. I didn't get the pectin in the supplement form, but I watched lots of YouTube videos. I read a lot of articles, and it seemed that an apple a day is safe for people with diabetes. I don't need to eat more than that to get the pectin and the other benefits from the apple. So I've started that. I don't have it every day yet. I'm doing maybe 3-4 times a week to ease into it. It's something new I'm introducing after not having had apples in a very long time. Also, I had a very bad reaction to prescription medication. I was feeling very atypical for me. Like we all have things that are recurrent in our symptoms and as we get older. These were like off the wall. My voice changed a couple of times, and I was feeling very confused, and I was feeling agitated, and I was feeling very dark. And again, we all fall into states like this, but for me, it's atypical. And it was happening, and then I started getting clammy, and I started getting disoriented. So, again, I started writing down my symptoms. And then I decided after I wrote down all my symptoms to check the medication I'd been given on one of the more reputable, like the Mayo Clinic, I believe it's a site, which is a reputable site. And there were all my weird symptoms as unusual or rare reactions to medication. And the only ones I wasn't experiencing were coma and death. So I didn't want to go there.
I stopped taking
the medication. It took 2 days to get it out of my system, fully. And now my doctor prescribed something else. And the pharmacist asked when we went to pick up the medication if we were aware that my kidneys would have to be monitored very closely if I took this medication. So I refused it. I said, I'm not taking this. It's such a concern. I don't have anything my kidneys as far as I know, so to put my kidneys in danger. And the other medication would have burnt out my pancreas in a very short period of time, according to what I read. Yeah, so I'm very concerned about what I take. I mean, every medication, every supplement will have side effects or it might be dangerous to somebody, but it's very disturbing to receive these things as prescriptions. With the results it could have, it's very terrible having undergone the bad ill effects. They're very real, and they came only after a week.
That is frightening. And it just verifies again where as much as the FDA and the government is quick to jump on whatever negative news report may suddenly evolve concerning supplements. Most of them are a pale in comparison to what can happen to us with the ill effect of certain drugs. They pale in comparison. I just have to sit in amazement when I watch some of these commercials, and you'll hear about a drug that's can help with plaque psoriasis, as an example. And then they list the after effects, and one of them that, well, it can lead to death.
Yes.
I mean, if this were true with any number of supplements, they would immediately go after them with extreme aggressiveness and remove them from the market. So while we know that some supplements can, it's still very rare based on my experience, cause some side effects one way or the other, they pale in comparison to what most drugs can do, most pharmaceuticals. It continues to amaze me how the FDA can nonetheless allow some of these drugs to make it to market, and yet they're always ready with the bow and arrows to shoot down any supplement that may occasionally, and it is very rare, for it to have serious deleterious effects on one's health. It always amazes me. It leaves me speechless, because there's obviously a a different set of rules when it comes to supplements that we know, for the most part, can heal and maybe extend lives, as opposed to most drugs, which can have serious side effects. So I think all of us owe you a debt of gratitude for sharing that with us.
And the supplements, too, it's like an iffy type of thing, because they've done studies where only 21% of the vitamin supplements that they examined at any time match the description of what's on the label.
Yes.
And so that's that remains a problem. And as long as vitamins are unregulated, we're going to have that problem.
Yes, we are. You know, it's really a tightrope that we're walking with that. If they become regulated, the FDA will have their claws into the natural food industry, which can have also have negative effects as far as our availability to healing nutrients are concerned. On the other
hand,
you're right. There's certain supplements that aren't what they claim to be, and we have to go in that direction. Some research I've done lately indicates that most of the drugstore brands need to be looked at very closely. Nature Made and some of the these other.
That's what I heard, too.
Both,
the drugstore brands are very suspect.
Yes. While they boast about their quality, they are very suspect. I would say, continue to stay with the well-known natural supplements like Solgar and some of the other brands. And I like Life Extension very much. I think Swanson Vitamins, by and large, makes high-quality products. But stay with the well-known manufacturers that have been in this field for many, many years. And I'll name some others as we go on. But, yes, the drugstore brands are very suspect, even as far as the fish oil. I mean, one of the ways you can tell if fish oil is not where it needs to be is if you open the bottle and the capsules or the oil is cloudy. It's not clear. A quality supplement that fish oil should be very clear. One of the companies I do like also is called NAW, NAW. They've been around many years. I've just recently purchased some of the fish oil, and I'm very impressed with what appears to be the quality of the product. But NAW is also another good natural brand one might want to consider. So you're absolutely right. And again, it's one of the great paradoxes, if you will, of what's available to us. But the bottom line is, for me, is that when at all possible, I would take my chances with a natural supplement as opposed to a drug that carries many, many warnings with it. Sometimes we need drugs, no question. We need pharmaceuticals. We know that. But there's so many natural supplements out there and nutritional options that can definitely improve our health. And two of the main areas are high cholesterol and high blood sugar. There's a lot we can do naturally to curtail these issues. Now, it takes imagination. It may take a combination. But it's certainly worth it if we can avoid the risk factors of some of these pharmaceuticals. So it's certainly worth the effort.
Yes, I agree. I've also started looking at herbal beverages a lot lately. I used to be into that in like high school in my early 20s. And I got back into it again because I noticed that some of the home remedies that I grew up with were very effective when I was a kid. So I tried them again, and they're very effective still, you know, for like things like calming your stomach or helping you relax or things like that. The chamomile still works.
Yeah.
And
excellent.
I developed I developed dosages that work based on things I discovered in my life. So I've been using tea, basically, to get some really good effects that I would have relied on an over-the-counter medication.
That's an excellent herb. Excellent. It's received great reviews throughout the years, throughout the decades, as a matter of fact, as a calming, herb, if you will, for nerves and digestive issues, a variety of other things. So yeah, chamomile is excellent, superb.
Yeah, chamomile is really great. The Greeks, when I was growing up, believed in chamomile. Then they had a drink called phascomili, an herb rather, and that's mountain sage, they call it in English. Then they did something with cups. They would have these cups, and they put a cotton ball in there with a little bit of alcohol, and they'd set the cotton on fire. And then they put the cups on and around the afflicted area, but usually they put them in your back. And then the darker the skin in the cup was, the sicker you were. You know, your ill humors kind of thing. I can't do that because I can't reach my own back.
Right.
And I don't think Athena would like to put flaming cups on my back. But those were pretty good, too, when I was a kid, the cupping.
Right. Well, cupping has been shown to be very effective over the decades. A very strong tradition in terms of diagnosing and healing. And one of the things it does, supposedly, is remove toxins from the body.
Yes.
Look, anything that works as a detoxifying agent is certainly worth looking into. Detoxification and reducing inflammation, two more ways that we can, on a day-to-day basis, looking at more, taking one step at a time, can enhance our overall health. So, I would say to everyone, take a little notebook and just write these things down. You know, what remind yourself on a daily basis. Use it as a mantra, if you will. Detoxification.
Uh-huh.
You know, detoxification,
yes.
What can I do? Reduce inflammation, what can I do? You know, there's so much we can do with inflammation. I mean, I can say this myself. I think back not too many years ago, I used to love to eat fat-free potato chips. I had a weakness. I knew some of the fat replacements might be slightly deleterious if you had an allergic to it, but I loved fat-free potato chips. It was one of the few pleasures in my life. But then I realized, wait a minute, you know, they're baking these things to a certain level, certain heat range, and that can cause inflammation. Especially if they're deep fried. So now those that are baked, you know, the inflammation in the body is less. I mean, anytime you eat something baked as opposed to deep fried, you're going to experience less overall inflammation. But I realized, I said to myself the other day, you know, I really enjoyed
yeah.
those things, but it was probably not good looking back at it now. Because of the baking that was involved. Because anytime you bake a carbohydrate like that, you're still going to receive some inflammation in the body.
Yes.
So, you know, it's not a matter of depriving yourself of all foods or treats that you may enjoy. It's just a matter of doing a little bit of internal research, if you will. And utilizing your own logic, your logical mind comes into play here. Because, well, you know, this may cause some inflammation in my body. Do I really want to continue with this? So, you know, that's where we are. I really truly believe that every little change matters. It's not a minor thing by any means. Every little change is profound and counts for something in terms of our health. So I think it's worth just keeping a notebook, deep-fried potatoes as opposed to pan-fried potatoes. These little choices can
yes.
make a world of difference. you know, in terms of the overall inflammatory environment in our bodies are concerned.
I believe the same thing, and I've been giving up. I love ice cream. Not all ice cream. I love French vanilla ice cream the most. So occasionally we use that to, you know, as a treat. Then I started noticing that whenever I had the treat, I'd be puffy the next day. So the only thing that changed on that particular day, and that happened several times, is I ate some ice cream. So I tried switching to ice cream that's friendlier to people with diabetes. For instance, low lactose ice cream, or coconut ice cream, or avocado ice cream, all sorts of different things. And not all of them made me puffy. Some of them did, so I discounted those. But then I just figured, why not just give it up, you know, because I can't be dancing this dance, you know, and experimenting with this, you know, so I just cut out the ice cream. And even if it's coconut ice cream or cashew ice cream or whatever, and it meets the sugar profile still, it might be something else. So it's easier just not to have it.
Right. Let me ask you, as far as treating yourself to something, so, you know, various treats that you enjoy and you can partake in with the minimal of stress, is there anything out there that you do enjoy that you feel is relatively a non-issue when it comes to your blood sugar? Is there anything you like to snack on in a reasonable way that you feel comfortable with at this time, or is it a matter of constant experimentation at this point?
Both. Now I'm trying an anti inflammation diet and different variations on the diabetic diet, where low glycemic fruits are allowed in moderation. So I've been taking those, and then I'm also experimenting with beets, which there's so many good qualities on beets being reported that I started integrating them into my diet. I eat beets maybe 4 times a week. And so far, you know, I haven't carried on my experimentation long or deep enough to really speak authoritatively, but I do feel a bit better since eating the beets. And on days when I eat beets, I feel a little better.
Well, there it is again. It's a matter of experimentation. I'm just curious, if you've moved in this direction, have grapes, have you experimented with grapes at all?
I'm experimenting with grapes now, because grapes, even though they're higher in glycemic index than the other fruits, they have a lot of benefits. I can't rattle them off right now, but in my study, there were some positives about eating grapes. So I started eating grapes. Whenever my wife gets grapes, I'll have some grapes. But I know that I have to watch how many grapes I eat, because they're higher in the glycemic index. So, you know, they're more full of more sugar.
Right. And another question, if we can, what are your feelings about nuts in general?
Nuts, I try to eat nuts every other day at least. I usually focus on walnuts and pecans and macadamia nuts and almonds. So those are the nuts I pretty much stick to. And I found that eating nuts is good. It's filling, and like with food, if you don't have too many, it's helpful for you.
Right. I think nuts, when it comes to dealing with our blood sugar overall, are a pretty good choice. Even as far as fats, the fats are healthy fats. Through my own experience, I haven't come across a case where nuts have raised cholesterol or triglycerides to any great degree. So I think they're good in that area. And so I think so far, I think nuts are a very good choice. As an alternative when it comes to snacking and watching both our blood sugar and our blood fats, if you will.
Yeah, that's I went to the doctor, told me I had high blood pressure, and I've never had high blood pressure. Whenever I ask about my blood pressure, it's always I usually get your blood pressure is excellent. So one of the medications she gave me that I had a reaction to was based on a reading that she took in her office. And I told the other doctor that called me that, again, that was unusual for them to tell me that I have high blood pressure. And then they admitted that it might have just been something for that day. So I was given medication that, again, it mystified me. And now I'm very cautious, you know, on prescription medications. I acknowledge that medical science has given us many wonders, and I'm grateful for it, certainly. But this experience taught me to be very, very cautious and to understand why I'm being prescribed what I'm being prescribed. And I'm going to ask from now on, what are the side effects of this, you know, right when it's being prescribed, rather than wait until I get home or have a bad experience.
Absolutely. And, you know, we can always, even though it's arduous, always read the contraindications, as long as hopefully our physicians or a pharmacist will give us the basic information, what we need in terms of any health-threatening, you know, indications that may exist. It's, you know, there's two sides of the coin. I've met many people, just two kinds of sides of the coin in this when it comes to taking an active approach to improving your health. There are those that are so much into natural medicine, they wouldn't dare touch a pharmaceutical for almost any reason. They believe that the natural medicine will take care of everything. They'll find a way. And, you know, I do appreciate their commitment, because 40% of our medications come from natural sources, maybe more at this point. On the other side of the coin, there are those who believe, well, natural medicine may have a little its place. I take a vitamin C now and then, but I don't believe in, you know, adhering to that. If my doctor says this will lower my blood pressure, I'm going to take it. There's a middle ground somewhere, and that's why in the natural field it's called integrative nutrition, and in the conventional field it's called integrative medicine. And I believe we have to use, this is where the power of our logical mind really comes into play. I think we have to use our logic in terms of what we may need to do from a pharmaceutical standpoint. I, especially the last 2 years, I would say, I check my blood pressure on a daily basis. And I could usually tell that when there's a whooshing sound in my ears. I know there's a strong possibility. I know there's a strong possibility my blood pressure's high. Today, usually my day starts at 8 in the morning, and I really don't get a break till about 11, literally. And I checked my blood pressure. It was 200 over 85. 200 over 85. And my diet hasn't changed. My exercise routine, while not as aggressive as it was, so regular. So that frightened me a little bit, but I tried to remain calm, remain stable, and I took a Xanax. And you know what Xanax is? It's a pharmaceutical. It's to calm the nerves. And almost without exception, in fact, without exception, a low dose Xanax, 0.5 milligrams to be exact, drops my blood pressure like a rock. I took my blood pressure a little while ago. It was 127 over 80. But that proves a couple of things to me. It proves that, number one, it's not a cardiovascular event that's causing it. It's stress.
Right.
It's pure, unadulterated stress. And I already told my doctor in my experience. He said, yes. He said, it seems to be no doubt about it. I said, but instead of taking the three a day, as is recommended, one a day usually does it for me. Then I supplement that with magnesium, and I supplement that with 5 milligrams of melatonin when necessary. So combined,
I also use melatonin too.
Yes, they're finding out some very interesting things about melatonin, especially where the immune system is concerned. and certain cancers, as a matter of fact. And the studies look very, very promising. So, again, what does this all mean? It means that sometimes we need conventional medicine. Sometimes we do. But we also need integrative nutrition to support the metabolic activities of our immune system and our internal organs, our endocrine system, to keep it healthy. So, you know, intelligent medicine, I think, is the name of the game. There are times that we're going to need pharmaceuticals. But by all means, I think it should be minimized, especially when it comes to cholesterol-lowering drugs. Most people are on too many, and high blood pressure medications. Most people are on too many. And it, as one holistic doctor said many years ago, there's no reason why any person, all things being equal, should be on more than one high blood pressure medication, whether it be a beta blocker or a calcium channel inhibitor or an ACE inhibitor. There's no reason. And I, for the most part, I agree with that. I think that given the right medication, a person shouldn't be on two and even three high blood pressure medications, because the liver, I believe it's called the P52 channel, the liver can only handle, so many of these medications anyway before it is effective and affected in a deleterious way. So all this information that you're sharing and that I'm sharing, somebody out there is going to benefit tremendously.
Yes.
By taking what we say and say, well, let me see if I can do a little of my own research. You know, what do I need to do? What changes do I need to make? Can I add some natural supplementation that may help me to reduce the medications I'm on? So for me, it's called intelligent medicine, logical medicine, and I think that should be the wave of the future. And I feel that if physicians could spend more time with us, they would give us a good landscape, a good breakdown, if you will, of how we can simply integrate nutritional medicine into allopathic conventional medicine to really enhance our overall health. But what I shared with you just now is a typical example. Now, some doctors, I have a very good doctor, and I'm very, very blessed, but some doctors, if they heard I had a blood pressure like that, they would immediately caution me to get on a blood pressure medication. But I knew, and I have known, that at least up to this point, you know, I'm 71, who knows what the future holds, but up to this point, my main problem is anxiety and stress.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and that's why a low-dose Xanax works for me almost without exception each and every time. So that's just, I think what we're sharing here are great examples of utilizing natural medicine and conventional medicine to keep ourselves healthier as much as possible.
I believe that as well, that, you know, basically we learn our bodies as we experiment, like with the beets. One of the benefits of beets is they normalize blood pressure. So when I first started experimenting with the beets, I added it to like all three meals that I had. Then when I went to physical therapy and they took my blood, they said I had, my pressure was a little low. So that's the first time in my entire life anybody told me that my pressure was low. So I cut back on the amount of beets that I was eating until I find the right amount. But I learned that that bit of lore was true about beets and me, that beets will help normalize my blood pressure pretty quickly. So beets are on my list of things to keep experimenting with.
Well, that's exciting. And, of course, for those who don't want to deal with the beets in cooking, there's beet powder that you can obtain. I have Mal beet powder. I like Mal's products very much. It appears to me they put a great deal of effort in their products. So I use beet powder almost every day. But yes, beets have many, many qualities that even go beyond blood pressure. So yeah, I think it's an excellent natural remedy to lower blood pressure by all means. It works for some. It doesn't work for others. But it's certainly, certainly worth trying.
And that's true of everything, like we've talked about many times. Sometimes something will work for you, and then all of a sudden it won't. Sometimes something will work for somebody, and it won't work for you. Or something works for you like a charm, and it won't work for somebody else. So you got to keep experimenting. Like with the diabetes, one of the things I've become used to is to be prepared to stop eating a particular food. So when I was first diagnosed, the peanut butter didn't set off my blood sugar. So I would have peanut butter, you know, every day I'd have some peanut butter. And that was great until the day the peanut butter all of a sudden, you know, would spike my blood sugar. It would make me feel, you know, kind of out of it. And sometimes it would give me chills if I had more than a tablespoon or two. So now peanut butter, I don't count on it as a food. Maybe once every other month I'll have a spoonful, and that doesn't seem to bother me. So I'll keep it there. So every month or two, usually every 2 months, I'll just have a spoonful of peanut butter, and most of the time it'll be fine.
Well, unfortunately, most of the commercial peanut butters,
natural peanut butter.
You were using natural, yeah. Peanut butter is a wonderful treat, and I happen to be, at least I was, hopelessly addicted to peanuts. And I know some say, well, that's probably the least healthiest of most of the nuts, because it has seems to be high in what they call alpha toxins. And alpha toxins is a natural substance that's also in some of our whole grains, and can cause, in theory, have the ability to cause liver cancer and some other cause of carcinogenic environment in terms of our internal organs. So I cut out peanuts quite a while ago, but make no mistake, when I came home from work in the morning, because I work nights, a couple of glasses of red wine and peanuts were a wonderful treat for me, almost on a daily basis. I never suffered any deleterious effects. But since that time, of course, besides giving up peanuts, I cannot drink alcohol really on any level because of my acid reflux, and I'm experimenting with that right now as well. And that's been an ongoing condition since the early 1990s. So I'm experimenting with that. And for those who do suffer from GERD, chronic GERD, the main course of action when all else fails is proton pump inhibitors, Nexium, Prilosec. But this past year, some absolutely frightening, terrifying news reports have come out about the side effects of these drugs, mainly kidney disease. Other very scary side effects. Unfortunately, I have found, even up until recently, sometimes the GERD is so bad that you have to make a choice. If you let your esophagus continue to burn away, or you reach for the medication. So I am experimenting with some natural therapies as we speak that I think may be an option, if you will. So I'm getting to the point now, just this past couple of weeks, where that can take a Nexium every other day. And by utilizing certain supplements like bromelain, digestive enzymes, I am experimenting with sodium bicarbonate. And that's pretty interesting. There's some really powerful evidence that, again, alkalizing the body, and you'll get dispute on this, but I've recently read some studies that indicate that, yes, alkalizing the body, even with a small amount of sodium bicarbonate, can also be effective in preventing many forms of cancer, because cancer cells still seem to thrive in an acidic environment. And so I think there's some validity to this research, absolutely. So adding a little sodium bicarbonate in your smoothie or your drink or whatever you're doing during the course of the day. Now, what you get over the counter is okay. They have Alka-Seltzer. They have other things. The problem with that is they also add sugar to it and certain other substances. I have to sit up and take notice that this past week there was an announcement that aspartame, Equal, has now been listed after all of these years, has been listed as a possible carcinogenic and probably should be avoided. I mean, they've been adding Equal to most of our drinks for how long now? And now Equal, aspartame, is being declared as probably a carcinogenic and should be avoided. I haven't used sugar in maybe 50 years. I switch between Truvia and Splenda and Truvia. And I've been doing that a long time. Are they totally danger free? I wouldn't know. But if you like your drinks a little bit sweet, I think the Splenda and Truvia are the better option right now. So far, Splenda is a sugar alcohol, and it hasn't been shown to raise blood sugar in any of the studies I've examined, and it hasn't raised my blood sugar. So if you like your coffee or your tea or what have you, a little bit of sweetness, I would recommend Splenda or Truvia as an alternative. So far, I seem to be doing okay with it. So again, what all this proves is you look at your natural remedies because they can be of great help, but don't totally discount conventional medicine where it's needed.
Right.
Because that could be a big mistake.
Yeah, I believe the same thing, and I've been helped by conventional medicine. I give conventional medicine a try, but now I'm being very cautious because some of the side effects or some of the possible end results and some of them have a very high indication of becoming, like the medicine I was given will eventually, if I continue taking it, blow out my pancreas by attacking the beta cells.
That's pretty scary.
Yeah, it is.
That's pretty scary. I know research has shown that the pancreas functions very well and responds very favorably, again, to certain fibers, apoplectin being one of them. So that's something I think those of us who are concerned with high blood sugar should always keep an eye out for. The pectins seem to be very welcome when it comes to maintaining a healthy pancreas. So we might want to keep our eyes on that. But yeah, it's scary. And it's the great thing is that you did your research and now you have this knowledge under your belt as you're moving forward. So that's a wonderful thing. That's what we're trying to encourage everyone to do.
I'm questioning my habit of drinking protein shakes. That's very much part of the bodybuilding scene. It's been so all of my life. And even though the ingredients in the protein shakes have been different, like back when I was growing up, the milk and egg protein was like the optimal type of protein that you could take. And, and liver tablets you took. And that's all changed over the years. But some of the protein shakes have sucralose in them, and sucralose has been found to cause damage to your DNA. And that's a very common ingredient in not only the protein powders, but in a lot of quote-unquote healthy formulations. So I'm trying to wean myself of and finding out that that's more in my mind, because really a piece of chicken will give me more protein than the protein powder. And it's more natural, and it's even easier to prepare. You cook some chicken ahead of time, so you always have a piece, if you want, 30 grams of protein in you, and not have to deal with the whole protein powder thing entirely. So that's one of my current concerns, and I'm hoping to wean myself of the protein powder habit as soon as I can.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why it's so important to take the time to read the ingredients. You know, just brief it over, give it a brief glance. You know, you don't have to spend an hour, you know, meditating on it, but give it a, and you'll know, you have your own solid working knowledge of what might be adverse, and you'll know immediately just scanning the ingredients whether it's worth moving forward with some of these substances or not. I feel I've always been for years, because I'm a vegan, I don't eat meat. I don't even eat egg whites anymore because, number one, I don't, here in my present environment, I am not good at making them, and I cannot get out to have an egg white omelet, which, quite frankly, I did enjoy many times. But I think egg whites are always a nice alternative when it comes to supplying your body with the much-needed amino acids and what have you. I've been using a supplement for years. It was very popular in the 80s. Then it disappeared. I don't know why, but back in the 80s, Twin Labs was probably at the height of its popularity when it came to its products, Twin Lab products. Then suddenly, for whatever reason, which I still have been unable to determine, Twin Labs took a dive. You don't hear about them and you don't see them advertised. I don't know all the reasons for that. But I have been able to find that they are beginning to manufacture, once again, their amino fuel. This is a liquid protein. I recently purchased it again. You can get it from Swanson, and you can get it from other suppliers. Amino fuel. I like the liquid. It's pure protein. As far as I know, and I will review the ingredients, there aren't any artificial sweeteners in it. It has a great amino acid profile, and the taste is so much improved from what it used to be back in the 80s. In fact, I would say it's absolutely delicious. So I've abandoned the protein powders, and I'm really enjoying using amino fuel liquid. I can send you some details on it. I think it's a great alternative to the powders, and I think because there's nothing else really added to it, I think it would be good for weight control, probably good for cutting up, if that's your goal, muscular separation. So I'm going to review the ingredients, and I'll send that to you if I can.
Thank you.
I would recommend, amino fuel liquid. It's a beautifully packaged. They changed the bottle. They changed the packaging. The protein profile is great. So that might be a great option in terms of in lieu of the powders. I've been using the powders, but kind of as a last resort. So I'll share that with you. I think you might be impressed with the product.
I'll be researching it.
Great. Amino Fuel by Twin Labs. I really like, and the flavor is excellent. It has a wonderful flavor. But they changed the flavor, they improved the flavor, and I'm really, really enjoying using it. I believe as a vegan, on a daily basis, I have been neglecting my protein intake seriously, as a matter of fact. That's the one area that I've neglected to focus on. So I think most vegans and vegetarians need to make sure that they're getting enough protein because, look, we know protein produces antibodies.
Yes.
Does so much, builds collagen the way vitamin C does. We need a certain amount of protein. You know, we really do, to maintain our health.
I believe that as well, and that's why, again, I'm not a vegan, although I'm eating a lot more vegetables than I ever ate, both salads, mm-hmm. a garden salad with mixed vegetables in, and also cooked vegetables. So mm-hmm. I've been having a lot more than I've had ever, I think. Still I rely on animal protein a little bit every day.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. You know, and you're adding your vegetables and getting your phytonutrients and all from what you're consuming, and you're getting your lean protein. And I think that's good. And even, you know, I continue to be opposed to a dominantly keto diet. I am opposed to the Atkins diet, you know, but I believe if you're consuming your protein, make sure it's lean. And by all means, avoid some of the desserts, the snacks that are loaded with saturated fat, that at least at one time, maybe not now, but at one time, the Atkins diet was saying, that's okay. You know, you just don't worry about the saturated fat. But now I know they've refined certain things, and I hope they have reduced the amount of saturated fat that they've been recommending. And, you know, it always amazes me.
They modify continuously, and the current diet is on the website for free, and they have a starting diet. So the more extreme diet is now the starting diet for a couple of weeks to get your body to burn ketones, fat as fuel. And then they add more and more carbohydrate until you find the tolerance point, then you stay there. For some people, it's eating a lot of carbohydrates, and for other people, it's eating less carbohydrates. I had a lot of success early on with the diabetes an Atkins-type diet, and I think it was called Protein Power, the one that I was on. And when they went and took my blood and looked at everything, they said that my all my numbers were down. Yeah, my sugar numbers were down, the cholesterol was down. They asked me what I did to lower the cholesterol, and I told them I ate saturated fats on meat, and that was the truth. That's what I did at the time. But like everything else, that was good for a short term like fix to lower the numbers, but it wasn't a viable long term solution because saturated fats have a lot of the bad health benefits in the long run.
Well,
they
do.
And, I can't eat them anymore. Like I used to like the sausages and things like that. So I can't eat them as often as I did before. I don't eat any cold cut meat. I haven't in a very long time because that didn't do anything for me.
No, well, I would recommend that in general, deli meat should clearly be avoided. I mean, the reality is when you talk about certain cancers, recent studies have shown that the pancreatic cancer, kidney cancer, may all have a connection to deli meats and the way they preserve them, the preservatives that are in them, what they do, the nitrites. So I think deli meats are right up there as probably maybe the number one culprits contributing to degenerative diseases. In terms of the population at large, the deli meats as a whole really should be avoided. And I feel very strongly about that. Of course, when I was a kid, what was better than a bologna sandwich?
Right, right.
But, all those times have changed. And positively so. You know, I think it's for the best.
I believe so, too. And I spent a lot of my life, I worked in the deli for a while in my late teens. I've been eating the healthy cold cuts, so you believe, like chicken meat and turkey, you believe those were healthy, and roast meat.
Yes.
But now we're finding that, no, those were not healthy for you. So, again, I avoid it. I think I have, if I have to say, how can I have something, the deli meat, if it's in the house, it's like maybe four times a year, three times a year. The same thing with hot dogs, too. Even the healthier hot dogs, the uncured, once every 3-4 months I'll have one. But I try to avoid those as well.
Well, again, it's great that your awareness is keen enough to just know how to make. Again, it's about making these small changes. And that's what it's all about. That, and these little changes that we make every day, I believe with all of my heart, can make all the difference in terms of adding some healthier days and years to our lives. That's what you and I are doing here with everything we're sharing this evening. Somebody's going to take some of the information we have both shared, and they're going to run with the ball, and they're going to ultimately perhaps be healthier for it.
And if we're doing that, then we're doing our job. We're nearing the end of today's show. And I'd love for you to share how people can find you and your work and how they could tap into all the wonderful things you're doing.
Okay, well, thank you. Well, I have a creative health manual that I'm very proud of. It covers everything in terms of the diet we personally recommend based on our 30 years of experience. We cover the wide-ranging effectiveness of herbs. We have a full section on essential oils, antioxidants, phytochemicals are explained and defined, phytonutrients, how the body works, how we make cells on a year-to-year basis, how our cells rejuvenate. We have a short history in there of alternative medicine going back to the 15 and 1600s and how sailors at that time were cured of scurvy with eating oranges and what have you. And we also deal with thymus and liver extracts and how they can be helpful in terms of those who are suffering from liver diseases. It's all about the like treats like science, which we know is valid at this point in terms of homeopathy. So everything is in there. It's $5 a copy. Check a money order to Michael Del Rossi, P.O. Box 129, Caldwell, New Jersey, 07006. It's my creative health manual. I think it provides an excellent foundation for natural healing. And it's only $5 a copy, and I think it will be a great benefit to everyone.
I think so, too. I've read your work, and your work is astounding. And like I said, I refer to it, and I try things out in it, and I experiment with it. So going back to what you said about us doing what we're doing, it must be understood by people listening that we're not doctors or health professionals, although we're immersed in the health field in various capacities, but think of us like gym buddies who are really dedicated to being healthy and to helping each other out, and so we share what we learned, and we benefit from knowing each other and focusing on the same areas, and I'm very grateful for that because that's very rare to find. We enjoy it every month, but it's a very rare thing to find, and I'm glad that we have it in our conversations.
Absolutely. I think it's very precious, and it's as good as gold. We are not physicians. We are just researchers, and the information we provide can uplift someone's life tremendously, and that's what we're doing.
And tomorrow we have another conversation about Sword and Sandal Cinema.
Looking forward to it very much.
Me too. And I had a conversation with some friends here locally. And I told them that, basically most people don't get my fascination with Sword and Sandal Cinema and why I consider it so important. I said that, I mentioned you and what you do, and I said that you're one of the few people I know that actually gets it, you know, beyond just you like a certain movie or you're a fan of a certain movie or you're a collector of a certain movie, that these movies had a purpose, that they brought us something invaluable. And anyway, I've been told by the artificial intelligence that we have 90 seconds, so I will say goodbye. Thank you, Michael. You're an awesome individual, and I'm honored and proud to know you. And have a wonderful evening and a wonderful day. And I look forward to talking to you again tomorrow.
The same here. Thank you. And thank you to all of the champions that may be listening tonight.
Indeed. And until next time, joyous journeys and amazing adventures. Good night, everybody. And thanks again, Michael.
Thank you, sir.